welcome to you. Happy Mother's Day. Moms, are you ready to be spoiled today?
Yes.
I'm sure your husbands are planning to cook and bake and clean today and do all that stuff for you, as we always do, right? Well, I want to thank the Kabuthas. They've been a special family, and they're in the trenches, ministering to people, ministering to families, and I can't say enough about them. And Miss Wise, thank you for being here. We're so glad to have you as well. Well, Reader's Digest, it gives readers an opportunity to write in some stories about things in people's lives, and a single mom writes this. My six-year-old son, Nicholas, sat in the grocery cart as I made my way down the canned vegetable aisle. "How about this one, Mommy?" he asked, and he handed me a can of asparagus. And I said, "Oh, I love asparagus. Asparagus are my all-time favorite. But it's just too expensive for our budget, and I'm just going to put it back on the shelf." And so she puts it back on the shelf. Well, 3 months later, it's Mother's Day. And she wakes up to a crudely wrapped present on the kitchen counter with a little note. She says, "I unwrapped it, and it was a can of asparagus." And the note read, "I love you, Mommy, and I remember that this was your favorite." Moms are special. And I can't think of any job more important in all the world than the job of mom. I mean that. I truly mean that. God has put something special in our moms. You know, a few weeks ago, I was sitting on my back porch, as I usually do. Melanie and I do this about this time of year. You know, spring has sprung, I think. You know, we got rain, we got cold weather, but... But anyway, we were on our back porch, and I saw a familiar event take place, the barn swallow. And every year, I sit on my porch, and I have to deal with this ridiculous bird. And this bird is absolutely sure that my porch belongs to it, and it doesn't belong to me. And so she dive bombs me. She makes me spill my coffee all over myself. And she wants me off her porch and out of her territory. And the question is, why? What's going on with this bird? Why does it show up every year? Well, she's doing what this bird does every year at this time. She's building a sloppy, muddy ball of mess in the left upper corner of my porch, my clean porch. That's what she's doing. And that means that she's nesting. And her cousin Dolores is starting a new nest on the front porch. And her friend Ethel is starting one on the side of the house. And she does this every year because she's getting ready for the main event. And the main event is multiple eggs, which means multiple babies. Then, just like every year, there they are staring at me with their beady little eyes while I drink my coffee. They're taunting me. And they're provoking me to wrath. So what do I do? Do I take my pressure washer and shoot their little mud ball off of my wall? Or do I let her and her cousin and her friend go on living to face another day? And so I end up in this little toil, just back and forth. Pressure wash. Let the little beady-eyed bird live. Pressure wash, live. Pressure wash. And it's... And so, okay, back to Mother's Day. Well, the barn swallow does this because she's a good mother. And she's responding to this instinct that God has put inside of her to prepare a house, to feed and to protect and to raise up her children the best way she knows how. And before they're even born, she is dreaming of this little mud ball. And she is getting ready to build that mud ball. And we see this throughout God's creation, don't we? Where moms have this something special inside of them. There is this built-in mom thing. I don't even know how to explain it. I've seen it in my wife 3 times. This drive to thrive as a mother, to get ready, to begin nesting, to begin preparing. It's funny because when my wife is at work, her work has some of her, but her kids still have all of her. It's interesting. Here I am when I'm at work, my work has all of me, okay? But with her, it's not uncommon for her in the middle of the day to call me and say, okay, Scott, is Cody doing this? Are you gonna get me at Kindle today? Have you called Mandy? And she's always kind of getting things situated. Well, when moms invest in their kids, it makes a big difference. It makes a tremendous difference in their lives. And when moms withdraw from children, it can leave a devastating effect. I think we all know this, and some of us have experienced both extremes. But Samuel's mother in the book of Samuel, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 10. This is going to be a fairly brief message today. But Samuel's mother, Hannah, fought for him before he was even born, kind of like the barn sparrow. Did you notice that we passed out little hummingbird feeders today to the moms? If you didn't get one, make sure you mention that to me. I'll be sure that you get one next week. But I did this so you don't think I hate birds, okay, after this sermon. I really love birds. I like watching birds. I just don't want them to build their little mud nests in my porch, okay? But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, 10 through 15, is this story of Hannah, and she's longing to have a child. But years have gone by, and she doesn't. And in verse 10, we see, she says this, we read, she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Verse 12, as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart. Now, this is Hannah, and she's at the temple, and Eli is a priest at the temple, okay? She was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunk woman. And Eli said to her, How long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, No, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. So here's Hannah, and she says, Give me a child, Lord. Give me a child, Lord, and I'll give him back to you. And she hurt deeply because she wanted to be a mother. And in her pain, she cried out to God. And the Lord heard her cry, and Hannah had a son. And in verse 20 of chapter 1, we see that she named him Samuel. And in verse 24, it says, When she had weaned him, she took him to the temple to worship the Lord. And so here she is weaning him. She's raising him up. And in Jewish culture, it's typically between the ages of 3 and 5, the son is weaned. And so she's already weaned him, and she brings him now to Eli the priest back to the temple. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you'll go down to verse 27, it says this, "For this child I prayed," she said, "and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him." Look at verse 28. "Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. The chapter concludes with Samuel himself worshiping the Lord as a young child. So let's learn a few things from Hannah. When some people think of Bible characters, they think of, you know, just perfect people who have no problems, you know, perfect hair and makeup kind of thing, you know, no split ends, and a life of bliss, a life of leisure. But listen, these people were like you and I, and they have problems, and Hannah had a problem. She had a situation she was having a hard time contending with. She was barren, unable to conceive. She longed to have a child. And in Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, she says this. It says that she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. I wonder how many times she prayed over the years, only to see her prayers not answered. She was praying and expressing her desire, the desire of her heart. It was kind of like Hannah knew what the psalmist knew, that children are a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And she knew that. And she desired to have that child. But the problem was, year after year, she was unable to. And Hannah was childless, but she was not prayerless. She continued to pray. She took her problem to the Lord in prayer. And listen, our problems need prayer too, don't they? Our problems need prayer. Let me say, my heart goes out to those of you who struggle with pregnancy. God knows your heart. He is there to comfort you. He knows your prayer, and he's there to guide you. It's interesting because there's several ladies in this church who have walked this road, and I know that they would step up and be very happy to walk the road with you. And so I say that because I want you to be encouraged today. I want you to know that you're not alone in that struggle. But what made Hannah such an amazing woman is she loved the Lord, and she put him as a high priority in her life. She might have had a problem, but she took that problem to prayer. And then she thought about her priority, who is the Lord. She says in verse 11 that she refers to him as the Lord of hosts. You know, this is the first time that term is used in the Bible. And then after it, it's used 235 times. But the Lord of hosts, when you think of this word host, it means armies. And when you think of the heavenly hosts or the angel armies, okay? So what she's doing is, when she's praying, she's saying, "Oh Lord, the one that's in charge of the angel armies, the one that's in charge of the heavenly hosts, you are powerful, you are mighty, you are fully capable of doing this." And she shows God her priority. Her problem was overwhelming, but her prayer, you'll notice, was very powerful. And moms, be encouraged today. Be encouraged. If you're facing something that's overwhelming, if your prayers are not being answered, I want you to remember Hannah here. She continued on. She says in verse 15, "I have been pouring out my soul before you, Lord." Hannah wasn't alone. And if you look through Scripture, you'll notice this interesting thing. So many who were barren, who God answered their prayers. When Sarah was barren, she prayed and gave birth to her son Isaac. When Ruth was unable to have children, God gave her Obed, which was the grandfather of David. When Elizabeth was barren, she prayed and she said, I want a child, and she was given John the Baptist. And so Hannah had a problem and she prayed, but she also had a purpose behind this prayer. And this is sort of what I want to zero in on today. In chapter 1, verse 11, it says this. She basically is saying, this is me paraphrasing, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. If you give him to me, I will turn him around and I will give him right back to you, Lord. And I think it was almost as if maybe God had heard her prayer, but this kind of dedication, this kind of taking her child and saying, I'm going to turn this child back to you, Lord. He belongs to you. I'm just a steward. And did you notice that she uses this word lent? You've lent him to me. She uses this in chapter 1, 27 and 28. And now I'm lending him back to you, okay? And so she understood the purpose. And it was sort of like God began to open things up to her, for her. And let me ask you, moms, what prayer are you praying for your children? What prayer are you praying for your children? Is it health or success or, you know, all the things that we know people hope for their children? Or is it like in third John chapter 4, when the writer says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. This is the Lord. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. There was nothing Hannah wanted more than to turn her child back to the Lord and be sure to raise him. If you give him to me, I'll turn him back to you and I will dedicate him to you. And it's funny, Hannah's prayer should be a prayer of every mother in here. I will dedicate my child to you. And as I was preparing this sermon this week, it was like God kind of changed everything on me. I think it was Friday night. And when I kind of grabbed hold of what she was saying, I think Hannah thought long and hard about this. This was something she had prayed for years, year after year, it says in chapter 1, verse 7. It was not an uncommon prayer, but everything changed when she said, Lord, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you. And maybe up until this point, Hannah had other reasons and other motives for wanting that child. Maybe it was selfish reasons. Maybe she wanted a child who would love her. Maybe it was jealous reasons. Maybe it was, hey, all the other ladies in the village have children and I don't. Maybe there's all, and look, some of these reasons are pretty valid. Maybe it was, emotional reasons. Who knows? But maybe God was waiting for her to align her heart with his, and it seems like in this prayer she did. So here's the fact. Samuel could have had all the right ingredients, but what he needed was the right mother. He could have had the charm and the smarts and the strength. He could have had all kinds of giftings. But if he doesn't become the right kind of person, one who is dedicated to the Lord, it's all for nothing. And I think Hannah knew that. I read a story of a little boy as I close here today. His school teacher said he had genius IQ, but always seemed frustrated and distracted. She said, we all knew something was just not right at home. He later wrote that he lived with a lot of pent-up anger towards his mother, who never seemed to have time for him. He said, she always seemed angry and annoyed with me. He recalled trying to reach her at work, and she would scold him and say, how dare you call me at work? Then he would try to speak to her at home, and she would always seem to put him off, put him out, and be frustrated with him. This young man went on to drop out of school. He joined the military, had a lot of bitterness in his heart, and came back to the United States after being overseas. He took a rifle. He took the rifle skill he had learned in the military. He found a place in the Texas School Book Depository, set his aim, and fired 3 shots, killing the President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, in 1963. And here's my question. I wonder what Lee Harvey Oswald would have become if Hannah was his mom. I wonder what would have become of him if he had a mom who said, Lee, I believe in you. I believe that God has gifted you. Lee, you're a child of God. You're a man of God. You will live like a man of God. I wonder if what he would be like if she were to speak over his life. God is preparing you, Lee, for great things. I dedicated your life to the Lord, Lee, before you were born. I saw great things for you. I wonder what he would be like if his mom spoke life into him. I wonder if he would be like a Samuel who had a mom like Hannah. Let's pray. Father, we give you all the praise today, and I thank you for moms in this place. And help us as parents, help us as mothers, as guides for our children, Lord, to see the incredible, the significant impact we can make on the world by pouring into our children. Thank you for the moms in this place and their dedication. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask the Kabuthas to come back up and share a song with us. And as they're making their way back up, let me read this. This is Thomas Edison. He says this, "My mother was the making of me. She was so true and so sure of me, I felt that I had someone to live for, someone I must not disappoint. The memory of my mother will always be a blessing to me."
This little light of mine.